morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And as you know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero are on vacation, and we trust they are enjoying a time of needed rest, and will return for next Sunday's service. We miss them, but God has not left this pulpit without a great friend and teacher of God's Word, Pastor Jack Van Dyken. We are grateful that Pastor Van Dyken is with us again today so that we may be blessed by his presence and by his preaching. And by God's grace, he has been brought safely through many dangers and has served the Lord for, I think, about 6 decades. His undiminished zeal for proclaiming the gospel has not lessened a bit. Not only in a church building such as this or at a conference, but wherever he may be, he's a witness for the Lord. And I am a witness of that witnessing. So thank you again, Pastor. We will have our fellowship luncheon directly following the service, and everyone is invited for good food and fellowship. And as is customary on the last Sunday of the month, all other activities following our 2 o'clock service at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon are canceled. There is one exception. There will be a Bible distribution again this afternoon. And if you're able and interested in that, we will meet at 3:30 here at the church building, and if you have any questions, you can ask Pastor Tomlinson. On Friday, September 30th, there will be a youth Bible study at the Tomlinson's home at 7 p.m. And also, please refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. We have a couple other announcements. There will be the inauguration of a men's Bible study on Tuesday, October 11th, and that will take place at 7 p.m. at the church. The Bible, the plan is to meet the day after the ladies' Bible study, which comes out to about 2 times a month. It's every other week. The church anniversary will be, as you may know, celebrated on October 9th, and we will be celebrating 23 years of service. We have a special service with a guest speaker, who is Pastor Jack Van Dyken. And that will be followed with a catered luncheon at the Morgan Hill Community Center, again on October 9th. Please sign up for your attendance so the people that are involved here will know what to prepare for in that luncheon. And I believe the sign-up sheet is in the kitchen. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Now the
us continue our worship with hymn number 316, Oh to Be Like Thee. Sing hymn number 397, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
We thank thee, our God, thou who art the ruler of the world, of the universe, thou who art the creator and the sustainer. We thank thee, our Father, that thou hast given us a church, that here in this house of worship, we may gather with all of those round about us who love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank thee, our God, that we together may be able to have that fellowship which comes when we know that the brother and the sister next to us is another child of God, and that we have an eternity beginning even now to thy glory and praise. We pray for those of our congregation who could not be here. They're somehow are away on vacation. Our pastor is away. Wilt thou bless him and his wife? We pray also for those who are ill and those who have problems. We pray that all of these things, which so often go beyond our understanding and sometimes beyond our means, that thou art in control. And so we bring our problems to you, our God, because you alone are almighty and merciful. We pray your blessing upon our young people of our congregation, how important they are to us. And may they know this too, that even in youth they can be able to be a demonstration of the wonderful love of Jesus Christ, by which they also, as all the rest of us, worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for the little children and the babes. Lord, what a blessing as we see a little child again, a little baby, and the other ones. And we marvel at the glorious way that thou dost give us these beautiful children. We pray your blessing upon them in a very special way. O Lord, watch over them and keep them in this world which is so filled with treacherous things that can happen all round about us. And we pray, our Father, that your hand may watch over them. Thank thee, Lord, for this choir and for our pianists as they use their voices and use their talents to glorify God. And we thank thee, our Father, that each one of us, too, as we gather here again today, realize that we are here because we want to worship the everlasting, eternal God, that we want to show glory and praise to you, that we want to admit to ourselves and to the whole world that our only hope in life and in death is not in ourselves, but in our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us now, our Father, as we bring our offerings to you. Bless each one as they give them to thy name's honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Your offering will be received.
You are worthy of all my praise.
take your Bibles now and turn to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 665. We will be reading Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. I beg your pardon. I have the wrong reference here. Let me look again. It's Romans 7, 18 through 25. Romans 7, 18 through 25. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Romans 7, 18 through 25. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a loving and merciful and an awesome God. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us by the shedding of his blood for those who would believe, remembering our sins no more. We pray for strength to subdue the flesh, and thank you that by your creative power, we are new creations who love your law. We pray now for your servant, our teacher, Pastor Jack Van Dyke. Father, as you have blessed him for many years, that we pray that you would now guide him as he comes to deliver the truths of your word. Give us and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD the ability to fully understand and appreciate your great salvation on our behalf. We pray especially for those who do not know you, that they may also believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive his imputed righteousness. In his name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Someone, quite some time ago, said to me a rather common thing that I have heard, and that is this: my mother was such a wonderful, wonderful Christian. I wish that I could be like she, that she always seemed to be able to have the answers to things because she walked so close to the Lord. And this young lady, when she said this to me, I could have said the same thing back to her, and I thank my God for my mother, but even more so for my father, who was a man of God that I have never yet ever seen as great a man as he. And of course, this is his son speaking, who loved him so much and was part of the inspiration by which I would be leaving not the work that he had in his particular company, but going on to school, seminary, and becoming a pastor. And that was about 60 years ago. Now, we think of these big, long figures, but that's what it was. But the thing that I want to bring to your attention is that all of God's people want to have a closer and a more intimate walk with God. That needs to be our desire as God's people, because he comes to us in so many ways, but especially in his word, by which he calls us to himself. But even as we think of these things, we realize that as God's people, in the world in which we live, and we're going to speak about growing in grace and in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to realize that as our scripture that our elder read is round about us constantly. We have the things that the world has that attracts us. How much do you really be able to, can you be able to find on TV which is Christian? Oh, there are some programs, but very little. As a whole, the world is not interested in salvation in Jesus Christ, nor in God. But you and I are, and we find that in that world that we want to be living, vibrant, growing Christians. And this is what I want to talk about today, that each one of us may be able to grasp onto something through the grace of God to become closer to the Lord. Because the more we love him, the greater our life will be, because we have the joy, first of all, of the fact that God walks with us. And then, of course, the realization that someday he will take us to be with him in glory. And so we're going to talk about a closer walk with the Lord in our message. There are three things that especially that I will bring out. First of all, I will bring out the fact that God expects us to be a praying people. A praying people. We're going to look at that because that's a delicate and yet it's a great and marvelous thought. That's the first thing. The second thing that we want to be able to think about is the fact that we are God's people who love and search and use the Word of God. And third, and this is a little bit unusual, and that is that God uses us to bring someone that has never known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to them. Now that's a big question, and that it's a big problem that we have there when we talk about that. But as we remember and know the fact that we are in a world which is sinful, and Paul warns us in this scripture that also that we read is 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 9, I wrote unto you an epistle not to come to company with fornicators. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What Paul is saying to the Corinthian people, he says to us too. The world in which we live draws us, our neighbors, people that we work with, people that we see in our recreation. And many of them are not God's people. And so often they're nice people. They're enjoyable people. We are drawn to them. And we have to be very careful that they do not draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, as God's people, need to know that we need to be involved in the things which pertain to everlasting life. And one of the first things that is so absolutely necessary is that we have a life of prayer. Now, when we talk about prayer, automatically we begin by the things that we've learned as a little child, as mother or father taught us to say our evening prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. Beautiful and wonderful. But we can't stop there. We must go into the glorious, wonderful things of the Word of God. We must be able to talk to him face to face. Now, you're going to hear me say a considerable amount about that, because prayer is more than just I want to use this term carefully, rattling off a few words. No, it is talking with God. Talking with God. If you stop before you begin to pray and think, my Father is in heaven, He is my God, He has promised me so many wonderful things, I want to talk with Him. And in that prayer, sometimes we need to even stop and listen to see if He isn't saying something to us. I hope that doesn't sound strange to you, but when you really get into earnest prayer, you can almost feel that God in heaven is listening to you and that He is going to answer you, or He gives you answers to your problems and to your heartaches. The marvelous thing is that we talk to a God who sent His Son Jesus into the world so that you and I, in spite of our sins, in spite of our shortcomings, takes us to belong to Him. Now, that's not just when we get to heaven. It's right now. And this is the thing that we're talking about in our message today, that we may be able to walk with Him. And we walk with Him when we realize that there is power in prayer. God hears it, as I said. God will answer it in one way or the other. And we've said before that God answers prayer one of three ways. One, the way that we really like, it's yes to what we ask. The other, which we don't like, which would be no, not now, my son or my daughter, not yet. Or then sometimes the third time, wait, and the future will come out. And so we, as God's people, need to know that we have to talk with Him. Now, Jesus gave a special treat to us, and that is this. When He left His disciples who said, don't go away. And it was even Peter that tried to stop the soldiers that captured Jesus and took Him away for the trial. Jesus said, no, I'm going to be with you until the very end of days. And the world will not see this, but you will see it, because He knows that as you talk to Him, that it comes from your heart. And when we understand God's will for us, meaning that when we live closer to Him and closer to Him, that we can feel even more that God is going to answer our prayer in the way that we would really like. Now, this is not a guarantee, because God knows what is best. God gives you what is best for you. As parents, sometimes we come in contact with a situation like that. Our children say, can we do this or can we do that? And we say, no. Because we as parents know that some of those things that the children can be drawn into are not good for them. And so we have to say no. And that doesn't go very well with our young people. We know this. And yet, we as Christians need to know that sometimes God even says to us in the most precious thing on earth, that He says no. May I be extremely personal? 17 years ago, the doctor said to my wife and I, your wife has cancer. She doesn't have long to live. The church where I was the pastor of took it in prayer to God and kept on asking God. And one of my elders came to me, pulled my aside and said, Pastor, God's going to answer your prayer. I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes, he said, He's going to take her home to heaven. It wasn't quite what I wanted, but much better than what I wanted. And so we, as God's people, need to know that we got to walk with God and talk with Him. Realize that He loves us so much that he gave his son to die for us, and that's above and beyond anything that we can ever imagine and understand. Because as we said last week, when Jesus left heaven to come on earth in the likeness of men, with angels was even over him, that the angels in heaven undoubtedly mourned over the fact that their Savior or their Lord, Jesus, was to suffer and die on earth. But this was God's way, and God's way is always a very right way. Now, besides this, there is that understanding that when we pray, we not only ask for the things for ourselves, but for others also. But I want you also to do another thing, because the next thought I'm going to have is the fact that we need to read Scripture and to study it. Oh, I know it's the normal thing in our household that we have our meditations after we've had the main meal and the end of the day. One of the children either says a prayer and one of them reads our Scripture and we talk about it, and then we have a closing prayer. But it's more than that. It's where you listen to God as you read His Word. You read it and you find some great things in it. I know as myself, I can sometimes read God's Word because I'm going to be preaching on a particular text. And I say, really, God, is that what you are saying to me? There's been tears in my eyes in my study when I see how wonderful God promises to bless and to sustain and to keep and give us so much more than what we ever expect. So that we, because we put our heart to searching the Scripture, we come to realize that we can say with the psalmist, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And what the psalmist is saying there to us is that when you and I use God's word to talk to us, it directs us. And we, the more we find this closeness with God, the more we try to steer away from the things which are wrong for us. Because you and I know that when we've done something that's wrong, according to God's will, according to the Word of God, that suddenly either we kind of shy away from God because we're ashamed of ourselves, or we just stop praying. And this is one of the bad things that we can do, but we shouldn't do this, knowing that the no factor sometimes that comes to us is still the very best. You know, when we pray and when we read God's word, we come to realize too that, as Scripture is so right, that Scripture is a lamp unto our feet and it's a light upon our pathway. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That's what Scripture is for us. But we have to look in God's Word and search it. Search it for many things that perhaps we've never seen before. And that means sometimes read it and wait and maybe even ask God, what are you talking about, God? And to read it over again. How many times, and I'm sure that many of you, maybe all of you, have read Scripture that you've read many times before. And all of a sudden you say, I never saw that before. I never realized that before. And so these things are beautiful to us. The marvelous thing is this, that God says that he has everything in this world that we need to know comes from him. And so when you and I are individuals as God wants us to be, that we take a certain amount of time to read God's word above and beyond the normal devotions that we have. and just see, what are you saying here, God? I want to know. And many times you and I will find that we are learning things that we never knew before. But even then, we find that, as we read in Peter, the first chapter, the 23rd verse, that we are directed by the word of God of how we ought to live. And so we should become individuals who ask God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want my wife to do? What do I want my husband to do? Lord, what do you want my children to do? So that we become those who walk in the path that God gives us. And that comes to us not just out of the air. It comes to us as we read Scripture. Because you and I need to find out God's program for you and for me. God's program for you. He has something prepared for you. Each one of us in a different way. We don't know exactly what God's program is for us. But when we lean on God's Holy Spirit, we lean on the Holy Spirit to enlighten us as to what God really wants us to do. What this day is, answer for what had happened the day before, so that we as God's people come to know more and more what God really has in store for us. If we ask, first of all, when we begin our prayers, for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds, then we listen to God's word. I want to say that again. Listen to God's word. Of course we listen to God's word, but in a particular way, you listen to it and it says something. But it's not for everybody. It might be just for you. And these are some of the precious moments. And Scripture becomes real to you, gloriously beautiful. Because when this happens, you truly begin to walk with God closer than ever before. And that's what we're talking about in our message. That through Scripture, through prayer, we walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listening to His word, and then speaking out for Him. It becomes real with each one of us. And this is what Scripture talks about, growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. These words were given to us as an assurance that God will incorporate in the whole program that He has for you a closer walk with Him. But first of all, it's necessary to shun the world to a great extent, as our opening part of our message says. Second, it is to find the joy of walking close with the Lord in prayer. Because when we are in prayer, then we walk and we talk with God. And then third, walk as God would have us by His word. One of the things that this does, which is a marvelous thing, it prepares you for the third thing. And the third thing that I want to bring out, which is rather an unusual thing for us sometimes, although we've been told this many, many times, is that you and I are made ambassadors for Christ to bring someone to Him so that they may become children of God. Now, of course, we know by predestination and election, all these things are there. But God leaves it to us to be the ones that have the privilege of talking to somebody about Jesus Christ. These words are not always easy for you and me to say. Sometimes you have to wait for a certain thing to happen. But if it does, don't pass it by. One of the things that bothered me years ago was that my neighbor, who on Sunday morning when I was just a young man, along with my parents, would go to church. He would laugh at me and say, well, how much are you going to give to church today? I'm going to go out and earn some money. He made me as a young man feel bad. But my mother said to me, why don't you start praying for Levi? And I said, prayer, Levi? He hates God. And he doesn't, I think, like me either. But I did. And I didn't have opportunity to see him very much. We moved away. And then sometime later, this same man came up to my mother and said, Mrs. Van Dyken, I got to tell you something. Your son told me that he was going to be praying for me. His prayers are answered. I've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, I just almost hated your son for what he said because I was fighting it until God opened my heart. Just a young man. Oh, I don't take credit for that because I didn't really, you know, all I wanted to do was be the kind of a Christian I ought to do. But when you study God's word, then you become prepared even more. You see God's loving attitude that God gives you and what he does for you. And so then you put your love to work. I'm going to tell you something. It's just a little thing that happened while I was in seminary. We, in one of the courses, which was called evangelism, it was left up to each one of us as students who were going to become ministers to do something rather unusual to show that we could work as ambassadors for Christ. So two of us got this idea. My background had been with my dad in his business at automobiles, so I knew a little bit about automobiles, and he knew some things. I said, let's take that pickup of yours, and let's, first of all, let's get a few tools that we need and a few other things that we need, and then we're going to drive down the highway. This morning, I counted five times where people were stopped along the highway. I'm not in that program that I was in college, or otherwise I'd have stopped, or in seminary. But we made it a law to ourselves that when we saw somebody that was in need, we'd stop and we'd get out and we'd take our jack and put it underneath it and say, we'll change it for you. And we had people look at us and they'd say, what's wrong with these nuts? But they were astonished, especially if a person didn't have a jack, and you wouldn't know what I'm talking about, not me, a jack in the car to jack up the car. And we had this. Now, I remember one time when we were going to a special meeting, the two of us, we were dressed up. There was our man, or it was a lady in that case. You got to stop. Remember, we promised we're going to be late. Well, that doesn't make any difference. We promised this to God. So we stopped and took off our nice coats and went up to the lady and say, what's your problem? So, well, I have a flat tire. We'll take care of it. Well, no, you can't. You're dressed up, you know. I said, no, that makes no difference. Well, the thing that happened is this, that gave us an opportunity, as it did in other cases too, to talk to her about Jesus Christ. Oh, sometimes they'd say, oh yeah, I knew you were a Christian because you're so wonderful because, you know, yeah, they will say these things. And in many cases they say, yes, I'm a Christian too, and I love the Lord too. But then we'll rejoice together in the whole concept of salvation that we have. But we did this constantly for one whole year while we were taking this one course on the program of extending the kingdom of God. And so we did it, but our wives, we were married, several of us, and we lived in a huge building in New York because we were taking this special course in the University of Long Island University with a Christian pastor as the instructor. But we lived in this building, and We had our rooms there with our children and so on, but you could hear everything from everybody else. Our two wives said, "We're going to do something just like you." So what did they do? My wife was a tremendous baker, so they baked hot rolls, but they kept the doors open. The neighbors could smell it. And needless to say, there were many of those neighbors that didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they would bring a half a dozen donuts, half a dozen rolls to one of them and then to the other. And they would say, "Well, how much for it?" No. We are wives of future pastors. And we want to do the same thing that they do. And they leave a little message. Now, I can't tell you of any of the cases where the people came back to me and said, "We came to know the Lord Jesus Christ." But these wonderful wives of ours led two different women to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous thing that was. Talk about being preachers' wives. They really were after that. The only trouble is I thought my wife was wanting to preach from then on. But the glorious thing is we tried this and it worked. Now there's things that you and I can also do in this world. How do you go about it? You've heard me say before that one of the things I love to do when I walk through Walmart or some other place, and here comes a mother or a mother and father with a little teeny baby. And you noticed that I saw the little baby here too, and I love little ones. So I always stop and say to them, and I think I told you this before, "What a lovely baby." And they smile. You don't touch them because they don't want that either. But you say to them, "What a wonderful child." And while they're glowing, you ask them, "Do you take her to church?" Sometimes you hear, "Oh, absolutely." But sometimes, "Why?" And then we give them a little message and we leave before we get clobbered. But anyway, it's a thing that several of us do when we, as Christians. We don't know what the results might be. But I know that one of the results was one with a woman who had lost her husband through divorce. Her husband divorced her. And she was so distraught that she decided that she was going to commit suicide. Her daughter, who knew I was a pastor, came to me and says, "Pastor, go see my mother right now. 11 o'clock at night. She wants to kill herself and she won't listen to us." So as a pastor, I went down and I talked with her. And she said, "It's none of your business what I want." But I said, "No, it's not mine, but it's God's." And she began to listen. She didn't commit suicide. Thank the Lord for that. And I saw her every day for about 3 weeks. And then one day she said, "Come into the house." She'd never talked to me outside at the door. It was the most I could ever get into the house. But then she said, "Come in and sit down." And with tears coming down her cheek, she said, "I love the Lord. And I'm accepting all of the things that are happening. But teach me more, Pastor. Teach me more. I want to know more." Well, one of the things that Scripture tells us is that when one child, one person on earth comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that the angels in heaven rejoice. The angels in heaven. I didn't think so much of that until after I was talking with her. And she said, "It seems like angels around me all the time now to keep me from doing things I shouldn't do." And she's a real child of God today and marvelous worker in the church. But the thing is this, why did God give me that privilege? Not because I'm a pastor, but because it's a challenge. No, it's more than that. it's God's will for me. And I think it's God's will for you too. We don't think of this quite so much in our kind of a congregation, but we need to. Nothing wrong with our congregation, nothing wrong with the preaching. But as individuals, see if you can not repair somebody's tires or something, or bake rolls, whatever way that you might find. And just remember this, Christian, that if God gives you the privilege of leading someone to Him, that the angels in heaven are going to rejoice about what you did. Yes, that's scripture. Angels in heaven rejoice over that one. Can you imagine what you and I can do? These are things that are far beyond our means, but above and beyond that, what a joy it is to walk with somebody who didn't know the Lord before. You know, sometimes they make me ashamed because they go even further than I do sometimes, demonstrating their love for the Lord. But that's the privilege. There are three things, my message this morning tries to bring out. First of all, have a prayer life where you talk with the Lord about everything. Maybe sometime you have to cry while you're talking to the Lord. That's all right. He understands you. And you may have to do this by yourself. That's all right. But talk to the Lord and know Him. And then listen to Him. See what He's saying to you. And then be able to say, "Thy will be done." Or say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done." That's the one thing. The other thing is that you and I get to know the joy of what answer to prayer is. And that we pray for people, pray for organizations, pray for each other. And really have a prayer life. And then again to having a joy at studying God's Word. That God's Word now suddenly becomes so much more alive. And you see things in Scripture that you've never seen before. Because you want to grow closer and closer to the Lord. Maybe God may give you the privilege of leading somebody to Jesus Christ. He doesn't give that to all of us, but maybe. You want to try it? It's part of growing spiritually. It's a very expensive proposition, but it's a very wonderful one that pays off. God grant that in our life we may grow spiritually through close prayer, through good study of God's Word, and then with our hope and prayer that we can point somebody to heaven. Amen. Our Father in heaven, how wonderful it is that we have the privilege of all things. We have the privilege of telling somebody about Jesus Christ and then hearing that they believe, that because of us, the gates of heaven opened up for them. We thank Thee too, Lord, that Thy Word is so beautiful. And so we study it and we have it speak to us. And then to our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of talking to You in prayer. Bless Your people. May we grow spiritually this way to Thy honors, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Choir will sing for us. rise for the benediction, please. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen. That choir is fabulous. You know, listening to that first number.